You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Spook Lore, making sense of spooky tales. This is your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm the slime weaver, Tyler.
This got really out of hand. And I don't know if this was a good idea or not. There is a dedicated Discord channel for these suggestions now, and there are a lot of them, and mm-hmm. they do evolve over time.
Sure.
And so, like, I don't know, what do I do with this now?
Pick your favorite.
There's so many in here.
Pick your favorite, and whichever one you choose, that's your new favorite listener.
You all, this is not as searchable as you think it is. here we go. Heather, this is from Heather. I'm Gordy, the Spook Master General, because it's October, you
Tis
know?
The season.
We're doing spook lore.
You don't sound like you're into this new rank of yours.
Because it's 85 degrees outside.
It's true.
In Atlanta, Georgia, mid-October.
We're tired and we're melting.
It's very hot. We're going to get like just the tip of this hurricane. It's just going to like brush its toesies over us.
It's just breathing gross tropical breath all over us.
It's just kind of huffing down our shirts.
What is the rank just below Master General?
Like something Master General? I mean, yeah. Postmaster General. Below General?
Yeah.
Colonel. Post-Colonel.
You're this
Postmaster Colonel.
Spookmaster Colonel.
Yeah, then Lieutenant Colonel, then Major, then some others.
I mean, I was going to say Gutter Boy.
General, Colonel, just gutter trash. That is how they start you off in the military.
I was not in the Scouts as a kid. I'm just
picking
it up as I go.
Do you get to be a general in the Scouts?
I think so.
Don't really?
They use the same ranks?
No, they sure don't.
They sure should.
We do not have child armies.
Why not?
Because that's no, they get
that's
you're
a,
like
that's
an eagle
future.
Or
yeah.
a bear or like, something scout.
Yeah, but like the general eagle.
Yeah,
no.
you're eagle master.
That's not true.
It would teach a lot of responsibility.
Major
to be
eagle
a scout
little
general.
Jimmy.
I don't think this is a good idea. I'm gonna look it up, but why don't you
While you're looking up ranks, a little
you
bit.
Say whatever words you need to say while
bit
I do this.
A little bit of house news.
Sure.
We've gotten a lot of requests to like send books and things. So we did pull the trigger on a P.O. box. Now, all three of us are really bad at checking our regular mail, so we will do our best.
This will certainly go well.
To keep up with this, it's like a half-mile walk from the apartment, so.
Also, the fucking U.S. Postal Service in this area anyway, kind of trash.
Oh yeah, like it was a whole saga to get there, like to get the post office box in the first place, and like instead of an address she just handed me a receipt and some keys. So I had to kind of like piece together the address from the random information on this receipt, which is now on our fridge if you two need it, and I have one extra set of keys so you two can fight it out. It is harder to get a post office box than it is to take money out of your bank account. Okay. Like, you have to bring two forms of ID, and they're very specific forms of ID. So I had to bring my car insurance and my driver's license. Like, I wouldn't accept a credit card or something as a second ID form. But
I think they just don't want people to get mail. So they make it very hard.
That is for sure.
To set up a system to do it.
That is for sure true. And I think part of that is that they have like three people on staff at all times.
Because mm-hmm. if you don't have a box, they don't have to deliver anything to it.
So like, I went to check our keys after standing in this huge line because there was one person behind the counter and one person like running other things with the people in line.
And a third person literally holding the building up with their arms.
Basically, yeah, because all post offices look sad and are falling apart.
15 minutes ago, you were so desperate for an anecdote for the Ramblecast, and here it's here.
We found it.
It was within you the whole time.
Anyway, after getting this and piecing it together from this receipt, our post office box address is P.O. Box 98267, Atlanta, Georgia 30359. And hopefully that's correct, because again, piecemeal from a receipt.
So you can send us, like, just be cool with what you send. Doesn't have to be books, but...
Like,
don't
like Playboys.
Don't send, like, you know, just be cool.
Yeah, no glitter.
Nothing dangerous, please.
Counterfeit
no
money.
No murders, no cherries.
Yeah, nothing that's going to get us in trouble with
Johnny Law.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a problem for all of us, but you know, but if you want to send us books or whatever, yeah, that's the place to do it.
So, and thank you to those who have reached out wanting to send us books. We're really grateful for your suggestions in paper and hardback form. And it would also help us, like, write your name in the book cover, because then we can reference who sent us the book once we do read that folklore.
Vandalize the book.
Yes.
At no point do you become a child general.
Well, I think we should change that.
All right.
Scouts.
So.
Bobcat, tiger, wolf, bear, Weebelows.
I think instead,
Arrow of Light.
I think instead we need to change our regular army to these ranks.
What? I mean, just switch them both. Whole cloth.
Yeah, child generals, adult tigers.
Why can't we have, like, a bunch of little kids in a cardboard tank, and one of them's a commander?
This is just perfect juice for a ramble cast. This just has that brand all over it.
Maybe that's the trick for next time. Like, we can't go into a ramble cast expecting a ramble. We have to pretend like it's real times now. All right, so this is our regular episode, which means I will be reading to the two of you a spook lore that you have not heard before. You will interrupt me, much to my annoyance, and I will have to keep you on track. We'll tear it apart, we'll slam it back together for a modern audience, and we'll see what the spooktralizer has to say about how many chills and shivers it gives the people who hear it.
That's the machine that tells us how spooky the story is.
We have to outsource everything. We can no longer be responsible for anything on our own.
I'd really rather not.
Outsource everything?
No, be responsible for anything.
Yeah, like, we're doing a good job of that already.
That's
so
the dream, isn't it?
So we've outsourced our scares to the spooktralizer, and we've outsourced our story suggestions to our listeners. So today we are going to be reading a couple of Korean tales suggested by Stephanie Beal.
Do they feature ghosts?
They feature stuff. Some of them feature ghosts.
They feature stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, say no more.
Spooky stuff.
I'm ready.
It's quite a blurb for the back of the box.
They feature stuff. Folkloros featuring stuff.
I don't want a cereal box that says featuring stuff.
I mean, like,
it's just got, like, lint in it.
Much like real life endorsements, like sponsorships on cereal boxes, I will not remember them in 2 weeks.
So our main story is going to be the Fox sister, and then there are two other, like, really short snippets that we can add on to that if we've got time.
Okay.
Fox sister.
The Fox sister.
Fox sister.
So this one will be sourced from Endicott Studio, and the author of this particular article from which this is taken is folklorist Heinz Insu Finkel. I probably mangled that name, so sorry.
Is that Korean?
I believe he has Korean family at the very least, because his uncle told him some of these stories.
Okay.
It might have given a full biography. I skimmed the biography section and took the name, so that's what we got.
We have an executive producer for this week. This week's episode is brought to you in part by Maya, who has received Arne Thompson type 1334, The Local Moon.
It's brought to us in whole by Maya.
I mean, it's brought to us in part. We're the other part.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And
we,
the story is the other part.
That's the
There's
last
three
thing
parts.
We bring.
Us, Maya.
The moon.
The moon and the story and the microphones.
That's the important part.
And the cables.
Internet.
And the interface.
Comcast.
Interface, hosting.
All right. Stop this now.
Net neutrality.
So thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
For being the better part of our podcast. The Fox Sister. A long time ago, there lived a man who had three sons and no daughter, but he really wanted a daughter.
Like my dad.
Yeah?
No joke.
Did your dad...
Just factoid.
Did your dad go to the mountains to pray to spirits to get a daughter?
Not to my knowledge. I think he was just disappointed when it was three boys in a row.
Do you need to make a call?
To my dad?
Yeah, let him know.
Just put it on speaker.
That you can do that?
I mean, if he's still looking.
For a daughter?
Yeah.
Well, this guy decided he was going to go to the mountains to pray to the spirits for a daughter. I guess he lives up there for months, because he spends months praying.
Did he bring his sons to shame them?
Nah, it's just...
Or for help?
His sons have to keep whatever business going, because he's up there for months praying in the mountains.
What is the business?
I have no... Farm, probably.
Probably. Let's do something different. I've done enough farms.
Sick of farms. Stop having farms,
folklore
people.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sick
of farms.
Archery range.
All right, yeah.
He runs one of those tourist traps where you pay him for gold.
That sounds right. Yeah, his sons have to run that because he's left the family. And, like, spending months on the mountain praying, like, you could maybe be doing other things to make a daughter happen during that time.
Probably. Yeah, there's a key one you could be doing.
Yeah, it's like wanting to win the lottery but never buying a ticket. You're just asking for it to windfall on
you. Is the ticket his dick?
Yeah.
In this metaphor, sort of mixed metaphor, yeah, the ticket would be his business.
And three times he's won a smaller amount than what he was hoping for.
Yeah,
he didn't get the jackpot, but he matched three numbers in the Powerball. All right. So after months of living alone on a mountain, praying that a daughter will happen, he gets desperate enough to say, please just give me a daughter, even if she's a fox.
Ooh, well, see, this is where modern interpretations run into trouble, because he's asking for a hot daughter, right?
I mean, that's the modern nomenclature.
Yeah. Also, stop doing this.
Yeah, like...
Fairy tale parents.
If you're willing to accept a hedgehog, a fox, a lizard, a bear, whatever name you for a kid, instead of asking to birth one...
You can probably just find one of those.
Go to the shelter.
Why? Go to the bear shelter and bring one home.
Can we pin down why fairy tale people free associate to small mammals almost immediately?
Because, I don't know, maybe they interact with them more?
I guess.
Maybe this guy has a fox problem on his gold panning grounds.
Yeah, the foxes keep stealing the gold.
Like, they never say, even if it's stones, even if it's river.
Well, I think those would be hard to interact with. You can imagine cuddling a fox.
Yeah.
I guess.
Or a hedgehog.
Yeah.
Those both seem like fine pets.
Tree.
Yeah, but, like, you can't... They don't have a face.
This is my daughter, Tree. She could have a face. You seen Pocahontas?
I mean, wouldn't... Yeah, this is my daughter, Grandma Willow.
She's a three.
You calling her ugly?
No,
like 3 years old. Because
she's this many.
Oh,
that's our podcast terminology
Grandma
for
Willow,
age.
3 out of 10, pretty ugly. It's not very nice. She wants Moana to marry Queequeg. Whatever their names are. I'm going to say in this Pocahontas rewrite that Tom Arnold shows up.
Okay.
As a conquistador, just because I want to scramble everybody's names.
All right. Well, soon, somehow his wife gets pregnant.
With a tree.
Gives birth to a girl. And
who's
the man
a tree?
Is very happy. But when his daughter was 6 years old, strange things began to happen. Specifically, one strange thing. Every night, a cow would die, and in the morning, they couldn't figure out what had killed it. All right. So he has his first son keep watch one night to kind of monitor what kind of aliens are coming to kill their gold cows on this gold panning farm.
Falls asleep.
Why is he doing this?
Because the cows keep dying, and they're a vital part of this gold panning business.
After asking for a fox daughter?
The cows are essential employees of their bowling alley.
Yeah, she's 6 years old now, and cows have started dying.
This is a pretty good facility. If it's got a bowling alley and you can pan for gold.
I mean, he's kind of just running like a cult compound.
The cows are part of the petting zoo, and they're vital for keeping the kids entertained while the parents try to strike rich.
If you were in a cult compound and you have a bowling alley, you're doing okay.
Sure.
There are worse cults to be in.
Yeah, you're doing okay until you're not. That's kind of how cults work.
I mean, at least you have entertainment.
Yeah,
yeah,
lots of it.
That's still how
gold
cults
panning,
work.
Bowling alley.
Cults are they have entertainment there?
Like, in the beginning, cults are like a nice place to live. That's Yeah, that's how they try. Listen to My Favorite Murder. It's got this podcast.
Why don't
go
you just,
to that one?
Then just quit.
Well, like, by the time...
Go to the cult, and then stay for like 3 months, and then quit.
You quit. You go on the comet.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah, but by the time, like, stuff starts going bad, you've already been sort of groomed into this, and...
Well, don't.
Like, it goes bad slow.
Okay, I mean, still, quit. Like, quit before that. It's fine.
It's like smoking. Just stop. It's
free. Yeah. You can stop any time. It's easy.
Anyway, we don't need to get into, like, the details of the psychology behind how cults happen.
Sounds like free room and board to me.
And a bowling alley.
And a bowling alley. Sounds pretty nice.
All right, if anyone has a cult for Gordy to apply to, just send
P.O.
the application
box.
To our P.O. box.
You can just don't kill yourself to get on the Hale-Bopp Comet.
So in the morning, the first son told a terrible story of what he had seen.
He fell asleep.
He explained that it's definitely their little sister killing the cattle, because he saw her last night come out, and under the light of the full moon, she did a little dance. She oiled her hand and her arm with sesame oil. She shoved her whole arm into the cow's anus.
Ugh.
She pulled out its liver.
Just playing some Bloodborne.
Ugh.
And she ate it raw while the cow silently died from liver loss.
Because the anus thing?
Yeah.
That big part of Bloodborne? I don't remember that.
For very big pigs.
Is it?
Tyler's Bloodborne strats is stab it in the butt, regardless of what it is.
I mean, pigs, that's a legitimate tactic.
I don't remember this.
You give them a little exam. You pull the stuff out and they go away.
That's unsettling. We have a reading from the Spooktralizer.
He's woken up from his drunken stupor.
His little sphincter just closed shut.
And his little meter
Why
on his face.
Why did we build that?
The sphincter?
Yeah.
Slot machine. And then it was something.
So we had to repurpose.
Yeah, and Gordy needed something to, like, practice the butt portal technology on.
Why not a robot?
I mean, that is the fear reading, is you just see, like, how dilated is, like, the metal sphincter on its chest.
Interesting.
Why is it on its chest?
Because it's easy to read. It's a good user interface.
It's eye level with where Gordy is.
Yeah, it's like, you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, that thing's pretty tight. This must be really scary. Because if that was a human, that, like, the poop chute would be sealed up shut.
And if I felt human emotions, maybe mine would be doing that as well.
All right, so after she started eating the liver raw, he left because this was really gross and he didn't want to watch anymore. So his father doesn't believe him, claims that his son had had a nightmare and therefore had betrayed him by falling asleep on the job.
And was hung till dead.
Immediately disowns him.
Oh, well.
That's like hung out to dry till...
Sure.
Till starved.
There are consequences, which is...
No, yeah, you can't...
A change, I guess?
You can't pan for gold anymore, so what are you going to eat?
You have to turn in all your, like, Funland dollars. Get off the property.
We're clearing your name, high scores out of all the arcade machines.
No more employee discount.
I've been saving my tickets to get the PS4.
Pretty good arcade.
That's a real good arcade.
They always have like that really good thing that's like
It was a bike.
It's usually a bike.
Ours.
Not at Dave and Buster's, which is where I go. It's tech at Dave and Buster's.
It's what?
Tech.
Technology. Because Dave and Buster's is a grown up arcade with alcohol.
Like what?
Drones.
Or game systems.
Okay, so you play a bunch of video games to get another video game thing.
Yeah, but like a bunch though.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you're not getting that for a decade or more
for less than retail price.
Right.
Yeah, maybe just buy it.
Last living Aibo.
I don't know what this thing is.
That was, I think, the Sony dog, the robot dog.
Nope.
Not familiar with Aibo?
Nope.
All right, so first, the oldest son is disowned. The second son takes up the watch, watches for a month, and the next full moon... He sees the same thing happen and reports the same thing happen and has the same result. So we got two of three sons disowned.
So he just lied and made up the same story.
No, he saw his sister, like, deliver a cow through its butthole.
Well, if they gave the exact same testimony, they're both lying.
They're like in on it together. They planned their stories.
He just plagiarized the story.
Sure.
You gotta do a prisoner's dilemma on him.
So then the youngest son takes up the watch, and then on the full moon he sees the same thing, but he has seen what happens to his brothers when they tell the truth. So he lies and says, yeah, I saw my sister get up and go to the bathroom in the outhouse, and then when I looked back, the cow was dead, so it must have been frightened of the full moon.
The fox was?
The cow.
The cow?
Yeah, the cow died of fear of the full moon.
And this is acceptable.
Yeah, dad thinks this one is legit story and makes the son his heir.
Sister cannot do it. Moon can.
So is he acknowledging the existence of the sister?
Like, he knows this is the sister. He wanted a daughter, so he's refusing
to
believe...
She can do no wrong.
That she can, like, anus murder a cow.
So he knows that he has a fox daughter out in the woods.
He knows he has a daughter. I think he has conveniently forgotten his last little prayer.
But, like, he knows that that came true.
He has a daughter.
Yeah, I don't think he knows that he has a fox daughter.
He drank away the other memories in celebration.
He got a daughter. He hasn't seen a tail. So I assume, like, the 800 other prayers he said over the month, like, took precedent over his last one.
He's seen about 18 dead cows, and there isn't a full moon 18 times a month.
Maybe he could go out to the spirits and say, I want a daughter even if it's 18 new cows. if you're gonna get something, you might as well play your cards right.
Yeah, make it a marketable daughter endeavor.
Please, spirits, I would like a daughter, even if she's a Maserati.
driving your sentient daughter around town.
Please give me a daughter, even if she's $1 million.
Driving your daughter to the prom.
And leaving her there parked with the limos.
Unsettling. Yeah, I want a daughter, even if it's a total interior remodel for the bowling alley.
That's just the sequel to Smart House.
New pan and shoots. What is Smart House?
It's a Disney Channel original film about a house that talks.
Ah, yes. Okay.
With a lady's voice. I think it's Leela.
Leela?
Yeah.
Taranga?
If I recall correctly.
Is it a movie or a TV series?
It's a movie.
Katie Siegel?
I think so.
Sagal? Whichever one. Taranga Leela.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So meanwhile, the older sons have been begging and wandering around the countryside because they can't trade their cool arcade tickets for anything. And they come to the top of a mountain, I think separately, but they both manage to get there and meet up. And they find a Buddhist master who lives up there because everything cool happens in the mountains.
Yep.
And so they apprentice under him, and they study for like a year or so until they get really homesick and decide to go visit the village again, see like how everyone's doing, has the market value of their arcade tickets gone up.
Did anybody buy the bike yet?
Yeah, is that still there? Can they maybe get a couple more shots on skee ball?
It's a beautiful cherry red bike.
Really going through some skee ball withdrawal.
They could ride it tandem.
I mean, skee ball is the best game at any arcade.
One of them on the spokes.
I don't know. You ever played Time Crisis?
They could reenact
E.T. You don't get
E.T.
tickets for Time Crisis.
You don't?
No. Most of the shooter games, you just like get the satisfaction of murdering zombies. They'll give you rewards. You get tickets for Fruit Ninja and Skee Ball.
But it moves around and you duck down.
Yeah, you don't get a bike for that.
There's a pedal.
The ducking is its own reward.
Ducking is its own reward. Words to live by.
All right, so before they leave, the Buddhist master gives them a gift of 3 magic bottles, 1 white, 1 blue, and 1 red, and tells them to use them as instructed. Does not give them instructions in the story, so I guess they're written on the bottles.
We would have to assume. Or the caps, like Snapple.
Yeah. There's trivia on the caps, and then the instructions are on the back of the bottle.
The instructions are in the bottom. You have to drink the liquid first, and then you find out that you fucked up.
And if they do, they'll defeat any foe, including their sister, who, from their reports, it sounds a lot like a fox demon.
It is indeed a foe.
So they thank the monk, and then they go to the village and find it completely deserted. So that's a little odd. Maybe everyone's just enjoying some, like, of that basketball hoops game.
Is their mom that creepy clown game whose teeth you have to knock out with the balls?
And the sister just like popped up out of that mouth.
Yeah.
Is that their mom?
They knocked the teeth out of the clown.
That's where all the children came from.
And then a baby came out of the bottom slot. You won a sister.
There's a movie.
Starring Tom Hanks.
And the movie is called You Won a Sister. And it comes onto the screen like one of those PowerPoint slide transitions.
Starring Tom Hanks, directed by Wes Craven. You know, Wes Craven basically said, no, it was John Carpenter.
Okay, this still counts as spooky material.
Yeah, it's related. John Carpenter, like, would you say legendary horror film director?
I would say so.
Is that fair?
Sure.
When asked if he was going to make more movies, he basically said, the things that are important in my life now are the NBA and video games. So, no.
Well, he's true to himself.
Yeah. Do your thing, John Carpenter.
He's like a much cooler Jim Davis.
Yeah.
So they go to their house and they find it in terrible disrepair. None of the games are plugged in anymore. The roof is like falling apart.
There's strange piss in the corner.
The yard is overgrown. None of the games have been updated to be the cool new things.
The ball pit is barren.
There is still a ball pit.
There's a pair of sticky sandals in the cubby.
That was Tom Waits ass image you just conjured.
The only thing left in the prize bins are those little finger puppets of the monsters where the paint is always off.
Should I try to take that again?
What?
The Tom Waits line?
Yeah, sure.
The ball pits were barren.
slots right in.
Beautiful. All right.
But you did it in kind of a Knights in White Satin cadence almost, which undercuts it just a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit.
So their sister's inside all alone playing on the last working pinball machine.
Ugh. This is a spooky setup. Abandoned arcade.
Is it the Addams Family machine?
Yeah.
Sure. So that it's extra spooky. Or
this
Beetlejuice.
This is a scene out
it's
of...
Like, it's like the Addams Family Beetlejuice Scooby-Doo crossover.
That's a crazy pinball machine.
It's the one episode of Scooby-Doo where they met up with the Addams Family... And
that episode was on the TV in the background of an episode of Beetlejuice's cartoon.
Right.
It's not a versus situation.
No. They had the Addams Family, and they had Beetlejuice, and they also had a wrestler, and they solved a crime. It was a movie. All right. So they asked the sister, "Hey, where's like mom, the clown machine, dad, our younger brother?" Anyone? Where are they? And she says, in between her little pinball paddlings, and her reflexes are on point, like that ball's not getting lost at all.
She's a wizard.
Yes. Tommy.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Tommy.
That's a good crossover. That's a good crossover.
That's a very good crossover.
Pinball wizard school? Fuck off, J.K. Rowling.
I would buy that Think Geek crossover t-shirt.
Why'd you make me read all these books about some kids doing magic when we could have read about pinball?
Hagrid shows
John
up in
Entwistle
giant platforms.
Is their headmaster?
That's why he's so tall, is the platform shoes. It's not that he's half giant.
Who is not Dumbledore. Dumbledore is John Entwistle. Who's the Voldemort? In this pinball wizard story, Billy Mitchell.
He doesn't do pinball. I don't think
this is as close as I can get a video game real life villain.
I have watched a pinball documentary. I don't remember any of their names.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's done by the Who still.
Yes.
She says they're all dead. She doesn't say how, but the brothers kind of infer. And she says, "I'm all alone now. Won't you stay with me?" And they say, "Nah."
That's cool.
We got places to be.
This is...
You can keep the bike.
There's nothing left for us here. There isn't a bike. It's just the little shitty finger puppet monsters.
Even those are cool.
They're cool when the paint's on right, and it never is. There's nothing for us here. We've got pockets full of the little monsters. You ate all of the Laffy Taffy. There's nothing.
Is there gore? Or is it
just a
silent scene?
Yeah, it's just silent, but for the clicking of the pinball paddles, and everything's been overgrown and like worn down. So it's been abandoned for a while. She's just been in there lit by the light of the pinball machine, clicking constantly.
Somewhere, R.L. Stein just got a chubby.
The artist for those books we read as kids, the Spooky Stories.
Mm-hmm. Goosebumps?
No, the like, I think they were called Spooky Stories. You know the one with the
to
clown?
Read in the Dark?
Yeah, the clown with the pipe in its mouth. That artist was at Dragon Con.
Interesting. Those are actually spooky stories, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty good. But she points out that it is nearly dark, so they might as well stay for one night, and they reluctantly agree.
No. Why?
Why?
You watched her somehow navigate through the anus of a cow to find the liver and pull it out, and don't think the two of those are connected. So that took some doing.
She was rummaging.
Why not just leave?
Yeah, is the dark scarier than this?
Yeah, like between something scary might be out there in the night times and
something scary is like, here is in front of us.
Is definitely
and
here.
Has like, probably killed our family and the whole village.
Right, and many cows.
And every cow that has ever existed in this village. So somehow the sister manages to prep them a fabulous meal with wine and like good food. And they're a little suspicious because where did this come from? And they decide they're going to take turns keeping watch that night. But they've also lived for a year or more in abject poverty on a mountain with a Buddhist monk. So they're very hungry and they really can't help themselves with such a nice repast before them. So they eat too much, they drink too much, and they fall into a stupor and fall asleep. So in the middle of the night, the older brother wakes with a full bladder and he hears what he thinks is his brother still eating because it sounds like chewing. And he turns around to tell him to stop because he's real annoyed by the noises. But when he turns around, he sees by moonlight that the dinner table with all of their leftovers still on it has, instead of rice, maggots. Instead of wine, were cups of blood. I don't know how you can tell that by moonlight from a distance.
Tastes the same.
And a bowl of peeled grapes that are eyeballs.
Instead of turnip kimchi, were severed human fingers.
Just like every 14-year-old's Halloween party.
Spaghetti noodle brains.
We did, or a friend of mine, her mom would make like a witch cauldron with dry ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty cool.
My friend's mom made this cat litter cake once. Like
that's
she had like a whole spread of the like spaghetti brain sort of things. This cat litter cake, she'd gotten a clean pan, a clean scoop for it. She got real into it. The cake itself was delicious.
Nah.
And it was Tootsie Rolls that she put in there. No one else would even try it, and she looked really disappointed, and I was like, all right, I'll give it a go.
I'm not doing that.
This woman was disappointed that children didn't want to eat cat shit in front of her.
Well, like, it was a good cake. It was a really good cake. And she had done a good job with it. Like, the artistry was to the point that, yeah, people didn't want to eat it.
Did she know that cat shit isn't scary? It's just gross?
Well, I mean, that's part of Halloween, too, though, right? You're supposed to gross people out.
No, it's scary things that are also gross.
Well, there's a recipe for this on the internet.
Nah. No, thank you.
You're throwing a party, right, Gordy?
I don't want to eat cat shit.
It's Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah, but what about... Because we also did the cake where there was gummy worms in, like, the dirt.
Yeah.
And that was good and not disgusting to look at.
And worms are terrifying.
All right, I can do you a gummy worm cake again. Would you like me to write birth on it once more?
I'd like it to be one gummy worm that is 3 feet long.
And alive.
And sentient.
I'll have to human centipede that gummy worm.
I want
to
eat its brain.
All right, so he sits up in horror, realizing what they had eaten. And then he sees what's making the noise. His sister is straddling his dead brother's body and chewing on his liver.
Livers with this
likes,
girl.
Likes liver. I mean, it is an organ you can eat in animals, right?
I think...
Is it foxes' favorites?
Herbivores. Because I think it's toxic in a lot of the carnivores.
In herbivores. But I mean, like, carnivores... Well, we can eat, like, cow liver.
Yeah, we can eat the livers of herbivores, but, like, a lot of carnivorous livers are toxic.
Yeah.
Like, bear liver will kill you.
She's, like, part ghost, though, or something, so she doesn't care.
Yeah, she's fine. So then she turns to him, probably with liver blood all over her mouth, and says, "Did you sleep well, dear brother?"
"Yes, till now."
I only need one more and then I will be a human being.
Ugh.
So the oldest brother leapt from his sleeping mat and ran out of the house. He's still a little groggy from the enchanted food. And his sister gives chase and very easily catches up to him. Because fox plus drugs.
What happened? Wasn't there a youngest brother?
That one is the one that disappeared with the dad and the clown mom.
How are they doing?
Dead.
I mean, he was liver,
definitely dead.
He was liver 97.
Yeah, she went through the village first.
Was that off screen?
Yeah, the two brothers.
So we don't know they're dead.
She said they're dead.
But we don't know. We didn't see it. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
We can't be sure.
I'm holding out for a dramatic return.
All right. So he remembers the Buddhist monk's instructions and gifts, and he chucks the white bottle behind him. A vast thicket of thorn bushes grows up from where the bottle smashed and blocks his sister's way.
I'm playing some Mario Kart now.
Traps her for a moment, and then she takes the true form of a fox and makes her way out of it. So she turns back into a sister and... and chases again.
She takes sister form.
Form of sister.
Chases him again. He throws the blue bottle behind him, and it makes a lake, which traps her for a moment until she's like, oh yeah, fox. And so she becomes a fox and swims across, because the fox knows how to swim. Sister never got lessons.
Form of Vaporeon.
So the oldest brother is now exhausted and terrified. And probably still really needs to pee if he didn't take care of that already, because
he probably done did it on the move.
I mean, seeing a lake appear probably made him have to go a lot more.
So he chucks the red bottle at the fox and says, yeah, take that.
Yeah.
Whatever this is, take it. Is it fire?
There's a blinding flash of light and the fox is engulfed in a ball of fire. I think just start with that one.
Mario. Wait, is this where Super Mario came from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... from nearby?
Yeah, the arcade.
Because we got an arcade, and we got a man.
All the skills you learned growing up on the arcade / gold panning / cow farm. We
got a man running, and he shoots fire at the enemies to make them die.
He had a blue shell. Didn't really work.
He didn't use it good, but he tried it.
It became a lake instead of an explosion.
Just the famous livers in Mario everywhere that you gotta collect.
Sorry, Mario, your liver is in another castle.
Yeah.
So the fox burned to death, screaming, and when there were only ashes left, a small whining insect flew out of it.
Now he's going to put it on, and he can fly.
And that is how the first mosquito came into the world.
Fuck off.
And that is why both the fox and the mosquito are afraid of grass fires.
They're afraid of it because it's fire.
Woofa-doofa.
And then the older brother went and programmed Mario Kart and invented the video arcade. The end. I think the origin story took the spooktralizers, like Titan Sphincter, and released it a little bit.
He's just diarrheaing now.
It's his motor oil.
It's wide open.
Everywhere. Yeah. It did get pretty spooky. This might have been a case where they should have just stopped transcribing a little early.
Yeah, leave it on the ball of flame.
Right at the end, it's like, and that's how they're mosquitoes. Like, but why? Where's the setup for this?
I mean, there's
are bears afraid of fire for a different reason?
Yeah, fire.
Am I afraid of fire for a different reason?
Fire killed bear's grandma.
What did fire do to me that I don't know about? Stove is hot?
And then it
burned your very good nugs.
It's like this. It's like I imagine this was told orally, like in front of people,
right.
And the storyteller was like, "And that's where mosquitoes came from,"
and just got
dead silence. And then he was like, "That's why they're afraid of fires." And then a couple people started applauding
politely,
and they wrote them both down, but they shouldn't have. They should have picked one.
They should have picked none.
They should have picked neither. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Why is it afraid of fire? No explanation required.
No, the folklorist does a cultural analysis of this one if you want real folklore science.
Get
on
it somewhere else. Not in this house.
What are you listening to a podcast for? Read a book.
Yeah, learn things. The whole article is about women and as negative figures in this kind of folklore.
Mm-hmm.
That this sort of like most of the ghost stories, the scariest ghost stories in Korea, are about female figures. Like just adding to that fear there, and then mosquitoes are a big problem because rice paddies. So like equating them to
being women.
Yeah. I don't know. Like that is this folklorist interpretation. I don't know how like accurate that is.
Sure.
But taking the story on its own value, that's the dumbest fuck ending.
Like I understand the need to tell stories about like where fire came from.
Sure.
Like, how'd we get that stuff?
Right.
And what's it mean?
Mm-hmm.
But why to be afraid of it is probably the most self-explanatory thing.
Right.
About it.
Why like, is it afraid? Probably the same reason as you are.
Like most animals are afraid of it, and yeah. It's the ones that aren't that you tell the stories about, because they're like
right.
There's some pretty interesting folklore about hares, because hares will jump over a flame.
Uh huh.
No fear.
And
so you tell the stories to explain the exceptions,
right?
Not the 99%
blindingly obvious.
Yeah.
And there's the secretary bird that like the one with a really funky head thing. They stand outside of these grass fires and wait for the animals to flee them.
Yeah.
And then stomp them to death.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there are crows who are firebombing other creatures
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Like, you tell folklore about that. You know? Like, this story can stand on its own. I think an origin tale only works if that's the whole lead up, like the bat.
Yeah, you can't just tack it on at the end.
Right.
Especially for a thing that's introduced the sentence before.
Right. Like, yeah, you could have just said, and that's why foxes hate fire, and cut the mosquito out. If you're going to do it, it doesn't matter.
Like, what's the connection between mosquitoes and foxes?
The only thing I could think is that, like, it drinks blood.
Right.
But foxes also, like, eat meat, which has blood on it.
Yeah, like...
So, like, they both consume blood.
So do a lot of things, including people.
Right, so, like, you don't need to bring mosquitoes into this.
I feel like this is going to be an unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Knowing my other two contributors to this podcast, especially Carmen.
Let me have it.
Ready to hurt you.
Could she be a fly instead of a fox?
Like a Jeff Goldblum kind of fly?
Yeah, like what if the dad said, even if she was a fly...
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
And then she was a big spooky fly monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be down with that. Like, I don't like the demonizing fox stories anyway.
No, but you like cool foxes.
I do like cool foxes, which is why I prefer a lot of the Japanese kitsune lore, because it's not all negative.
Yeah.
All foxes matter.
All foxes go to heaven.
By Don Bluth?
I like...
Is it Don Bluth?
It was.
Yeah.
Like, the fox is a cunning character.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate in all folklore, because I feel like that is supported by the fox's real nature. The fox is like a danger to people. I have a lot more trouble connecting, just because there's nothing really in fox behavior, like other than stealing chickens and stuff, that really threatens people.
Our fox, you know more about foxes than me. You've read zoo books.
I did read zoo books.
did they have an article in zoo books about foxes, like, inside outing buttholes?
Now, that's not one of their known hunting techniques, no.
I'm curious about that sort of inclusion as well.
Like, the...
None of what she did seemed like what foxes do.
They'll scavenge...
Aside from running and swimming.
They'll scavenge larger predators' stuff.
Yeah.
I think the closest to that is, like, eating the afterbirth from, like, a newborn, like...
Yeah, it's just there waiting for you.
Yeah, like they it's
will,
just...
It's a freebie.
I mean, they will, like, take down a cow in a pack or something.
And then...
Yeah, like a pack of foxes is called a swarm, Gordy, and a swarm of foxes...
It's called just, like, a tidal wave.
They'll just, like, overwhelm a cow, and then, like, when they're off of it, it's just bones.
It's like piranha. They're...
the piranha of the land.
Yeah, land piranha, we call them. In our culture.
So that's, I mean, I guess one of the foxes has to get the butthole in the swarm.
Yeah, one of them's on it.
So this would be her job in the swarm. So you've got like the swarm leader and they get the head.
Yeah.
Can we come up with a better name for a group of foxes based on that information?
than a swarm.
Yeah. Like they're a grinder of foxes.
A proctologist of foxes.
There you go.
They're a meat house of foxes.
It's all fine ideas.
Traveling down the road, it's a McDonald's of foxes.
I was going to say the Sweeney Todd of foxes.
It's a Burger King of foxes.
I think a McDonald's of foxes is a pretty good name. Also, like her timeline for the butt thing changes because she turns 6 years old, which I guess is the age at which she is tall enough to reach. It's the only explanation
to
I can...
To get delivers?
Yeah, like, yeah. As a toddler, she couldn't quite get to the butthole, but you know she tried every night. So after 6 years, she's finally tall enough to, at least with a step stool, get up there.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, like, it's every night, and then it's every full moon.
Well, she's got to get 100 of them a human.
Do you think for, like, 6 nights she was making up for the past few years of not being able to reach cow, and then she just needed one every full moon?
Before she was born, she was offered a choice. She could either do 100 good deeds...
Or eat...
Eat 100 livers.
Or eat 100 livers to become a human.
Yeah.
You know, liver is just, like, a dish that you can have.
Buy, even.
Yeah, like...
She doesn't have the money for 100 livers.
But she can't even... But her dad might.
She doesn't even have the tickets to buy a bike.
But she could be like, Dad, my favorite dinner is liver. And he can be like, that's a meat no one really wants. It's pretty cheap to get.
Yeah,
that
like,
goes for about 3 tickets at Dave and Buster's.
Especially if she said, like, I will be
David
a human
Buster's
daughter.
Meat department where you go trade like, your skee ball tickets
if you,
for, it, some,
for a
some
cut of beef.
If you buy steak. Me, if you buy me livers, I will be a human daughter, which is what you wanted.
And not
like,
a fox daughter,
and
which
in
you
like,
were lukewarm on.
Yeah, 30-some days, you'll be there. And just costs you 100 livers worth of money. Or whatever you got for cash, fun bucks.
And like the rest of the cow can go to the family. They can have their steaks and ribs and whatever.
I mean, they're business owners.
She's not.
But they are as a family.
She wants to get this done in a week.
They got the tax cuts. They got Reaganomics. Helping him out, right?
I'm not sure I'm following anymore.
Yeah,
her dad. I'm saying they can. Her, the family, if she lives with them, they can afford the livers because they're business owners. They're successful business owners.
Yeah, they have a thriving arcade.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got all the tax stuff going for them.
I forgot they had taxes. I concede that to you.
Yeah,
that's a thing that most folklore. Neglects to mention is the tax situation.
Is arcade taxes.
I mean,
we're here for.
Yeah, we have to fill in those gaps.
Taxes are a pretty central feature of our whole mythos here. do we need a rating?
A spooktralizer rating?
Yeah.
I would take one.
Yeah.
Say the measurement, this sphincter got to 86%. Closure.
That's terrifying.
And we have a lot of colonic maps on file that were tested, right?
Yeah.
Like tested and mapped on many, many live humans to simulate the real physiological response of fear.
Yeah, Cricket's been busting her ass collecting all that, pun intended.
Yes, and many other people's asses.
Cricket has been busting asses all week.
Knuckle punch and all kinds
of
people.
So that we could perfectly simulate human fear. And like the one sort of key performance indicator, which is sphincter closure.
So it's a percentile system.
Yeah. 0 to 100 is what it boils down to.
Sure. Simple enough.
So pretty spooky.
Very spooky.
We
just kind of tripped at the end.
This is more of a PSA at this point, I guess. I don't think we did it last time.
Oh.
I don't think we actually...
rated the
gave a spooky rating to the story.
We checked in, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
We checked in like midway through. I don't think we gave it a final rating.
Do you want to retroactively?
It's pretty spooky.
Like a 46.
It did not have that functionality at the time.
Oh, this is new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The sphincter technology is brand new.
Pretty spooky, it tells me. That sphincter loosens up a lot when I say gold teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do like a little amuse-bouche, couple of palate cleanser stories? So the first one is The Maiden's Grave. How's that sphincter looking with the title?
How'd she die?
One
Depends.
Evening, a young scholar was staggering down a trail in the mountains, very drunk from a party, and in such a hurry that he didn't have time to go into the woods. He just relieves himself right on the road.
It's not very scholarly.
So he pisses for a long time, and just as he was pulling up his pants and tying the strings, he heard a young woman's voice saying, "I am eternally grateful. I died a maiden and was buried here in a flat grave, but now that you have shown me your most precious thing, I can go into the next world fulfilled."
His piss?
I think the dingle.
The peeper.
This was apparently a thing, like, according to the preceding notes on the story, was like, if a woman died without having fulfilled woman duties,
expose
namely
yourself to a corpse,
namely having children, if she died a virgin, she was buried in a flat grave on the road, hoping that someone would like show her his dong, so that she could rest easy. Because,
why don't you just do it at the funeral?
Because the scariest ghosts were the ghosts of women who hadn't like seen a dingle.
Well, don't worry, old time ladies, we have you covered with dick pics. We've invented technology to make sure you never become ghosts again.
Dick pics preventing ghosts since the advent of telephones. That's their true value. Don't send dick pics. Ghosts are better than dick pics.
Don't.
Speaking from the heart, I will say I would rather flood the world in ghosts than pictures of guys' dicks.
If you are explicitly asked for that picture, you may send it.
Yeah, if a woman is like, "Please, I don't want to die and become an angry ghost, send me a picture of your dongle.
Otherwise, do not."
Yeah, you need consent. Maybe she wants to be an angry ghost. Don't take that from her.
I would probably get it in writing.
So the young scholar was frightened out of his wits, but the maiden's ghost was kind to him, and he went to the capital to take his civil exams. He passed with the highest marks in the land. The end.
I don't think I needed to know all that.
No,
needed to know.
I got what I needed out of the piss ghost.
Great job, piss ghost. You made that guy valedictorian.
His valedictorian speeches. I owe all my good grades
to piss ghost. Piss Ghost is the commencement speaker.
Coast to coast.
Piss Ghost, coast to coast.
Starring, quickly, who plays Piss Ghost? Billy Eichner, yes or no?
No, because it's a lady.
No, but is this one?
Yeah, that's piss the whole point of the Piss Ghost, is that it's virgin ladies.
Okay.
Yeah, only virgin ladies get to become Piss Ghosts.
Cher.
Guys get everything else. Let us have piss ghosts.
Okay. You're going to have your piss ghost.
Spooktralizer rating? Percentile?
It did not enjoy the pissing part. But it doesn't look spooked out. I could probably get my whole hand in the sphincter, so not that spooky. I'm not going to because it's
you don't want to get a sliver accidentally.
That is private.
It's very private.
That's how you make robots into ghosts.
All right. Well, thank you to Stephanie for officially recommending the one, but also pointing me to the website with the piss ghost. Because it made me laugh. It made me laugh that the ending of it was he got real good grades.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, that to me was the perfect ending.
100 points to Gryffindor.
So thank you for the giggles. And thank you, Maya, for executive producing this episode. We hope you also like piss ghosts.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you to all of our patrons for keeping us in flush with a post office box cash.
Thank you, patrons. Thank you to our top tier patrons, Whisper Biscuit, Sarah, Maya, Robert, Liz, Grace, MC Atnip, Jeremiah, Roast Rabbit, Haley, Tim, Dom, Justin, Lily, Jenna, Jen, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, John Waterbottle.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, Roald Dahl.
Thank you, The Neon.
Hey, if you want to, you should leave us a review and share the show with somebody.
But thank you, The Neon.
That's something we should like to do at the end.
Thank you, iTunes
I keep
reviews.
Writing it down. I always forget to do it. So, like, yeah, please do that.
Yeah, especially if I like met you at one of these festivals the past couple weekends. Be real cool and welcome.
Thank you, festivals.
Thank you, festivals.
Thank you, festivals.
You're behind, Gore. You got to catch up.
Who? Roald Dahl. Neon. Festivals.
Mm-hmm. iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews. Piss Ghosts.
Thank you, Piss Ghosts.
Thank you, Piss Ghosts.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Really just Pinball Wizard off Tommy. I still don't think it's that great an album.
Thank you, Knives.
Quadrophenia and Who's Next. I've said it before. Get those two.
Thank you, Yonder Toad.
The Who
Thank
is better Yonder than the Toad. Beatles.
Unless you listen to exclusively Tommy.
Unless you listen to Tommy only.
Thank you, Arcade Bike.
Thanks, Arcade Bike. Probably gone forever.
Thank you, Ski Ball.
Thank you, Ski Ball. This is so long.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works.
Thank you, Brevity.
There's so many more than I thought.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to WTFolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.